This is Victory House.
All right. As God will give us opportunity, I will be starting something tonight. A little different from what we're talking about on Sunday. And I call it, or it's called, the Believer's Authority. I want you to say loud and clear. Say, I have authority that has been given unto me by Christ himself. And therefore, on earth, I am authorized. Okay, so we'll be looking at believer's authority as much as we have the opportunity to do that in our midweek services until we're able to do justice to that. So we're going to start tonight. Let's open our Bibles to two readings. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to 12. Ephesians chapter 6. This screen in the back is confusing me. it's not as most of the things are not showing. So you may need to work on that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. It goes like this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The second reading is Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Luke chapter 10, and we will read verse 19. It's a common scripture too. I mean, if you come to Sunday school, I'm sure you run into that a couple of times. And, you know, we're supposed to be memorizing all our memory verses in Sunday school, right? So, the Bible says, Luke 10, 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Say, God has given me something. You can say it like you know you have it. Say, God has given me something. From Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10, the Bible begins it like this. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That means that in this world, you and I need strength, but the way we need that strength or in what we put our confidence in is not in ourselves, but in God himself. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord. There are many people, when they hear be strong in the Lord, immediately they understand that there's need for strength. And they think it is be strong in themselves. So there are people that are strong and believe in their own prayer. I believe a lot in prayer. I believe that prayer works. I believe that prayer is necessary. But I don't believe necessarily that prayer just as a tool, without the fact that prayer is to God, without the fact that it is God that answers prayer that I'm looking onto. Prayer as an activity has no power in itself. The power of prayer is in the God that answers prayer. Can somebody say amen to that? Because so sometimes people take the activity more serious than the person. So you don't even have a relationship. That's why sometimes you see some people, when they pray as if they are concocting charm or something like that. No, the power in prayer is not the activity of prayer. The power in prayer is the personality behind prayer that answers prayer. Because if there was power just in the activity of prayer, the prophet of Baal would have been able to do something. The Bible said from morning till night they pray to their gods. So activity in prayer, I can even be sweating. I can pray 10 hours and I'll be praying nonsense. That's why we prayed the first prayers that we prayed in the beginning. Because it is possible that I can be involved in the activity of prayer, but I'll be doing nonsense. I'll not be doing the thing that I'm supposed to do. But the power is not in the activity itself. It's in the God that answers prayer. So we are not strong in ourselves. We are not strong in what we do. We are our strength in the Lord. We need to be strong in the Lord. It is inside of him that we get power. It is inside of him that we get our strength. So the Bible said there, we need to be strong in the Lord. Not in ourselves. Not in what we know how to do. Because some people, they just want to check the box. I'm strong in the fact that I pay my offering. I am consistent with it. It's a good thing to do. But that's not your strength. It is in God himself. You are not going to use that as your bargaining power or bragging rights. No, it is in the Lord that we put our trust. And it is in him that scripture is saying here that we should be strong in. Then he goes on to say this. Put on the whole armor of God. You need armor when you are going to fight in a combative battle that they can hurt you. So armor here means put on defensive system and assaultive system so that you may be able to take care of what you are going to do. So from that statement, number one, we understand that there are tools in this kingdom that we can use to defeat the enemy. There are tools. And because there are tools, the knowledge of those tools will also determine our victory. The fact that there is a tool does not mean that you are going to be successful. You know, if you did the story of David in First Samuel chapter 17, the Bible said that Saul gave David his hammer. And David could not even move. David could not do anything because the Bible said he had not proved it. So the fact that there is a tool does not mean I know how to use it. The fact that a tool is very powerful does not mean I know how to use it powerfully. You know, I did computer science in school, and many of the programs you see on your iPhone and all of that is usually people that did computer science or something like that that write the program. And many of them, the way they write their programs or where they started from is different from each other. But most of the time, they achieve the same thing. So the fact that I can use a tool, or the fact that there is a tool, does not mean that that tool will work for me if I don't know how to use a tool. So if I know how to use a tool, my tool that may look small may still be able to achieve big things if there is knowledge about it. So as we move on in this our discussion, we're going to look at how to use the tools that God has given us. But for what we just need to know tonight is that there are tools, there are arsenal that we can use to stand against the wiles of the devil. But so from that statement in itself, that put on the whole armor of God, it tells us that there is a battle. It tells us that we are in a battle. One of the major things the devil has been able to do in our generation is to downplay the fact that there are spiritual activities. You know, the more the church has grown, there is a tendency, or there's been a lot of teaching that seem to suggest as if there is nothing happening. Once you give your life to Christ, once you are born again, once you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And so nothing is able to harm you again. And they make it look like there is nothing happening. Please. Don't believe that, because that's just part of the story. There is, from this scripture, which is even in the New Testament, which is written by Paul, and Paul is the apostle of grace and the apostle of love, so to say. But Paul is saying here that there is a battle. There is a battle. There are many things that are happening in the physical that are not really as physical as you think they are. The real thing is in the spiritual, and that spiritual is controlling the physical. If you don't understand anything tonight, please understand that there is a physical, there is a spiritual world. It is more real than this physical world. I think it was on Sunday that I was talking about the fact that we don't look at what we see. Or some time ago, I said that somewhere here. You know, that the things that we see are temporal, but the things that we don't see are eternal. That means that the spiritual that is not visible now is more visible and more lasting than the visible that you are seeing now. And it's controlling it. So there is a battle. There is a warfare. You know. So there is a camp of church people that have downplayed the warfare. There is also another camp of church people that have overplayed the warfare. Everything is battle. Everything is warfare. Even if they want to eat, the way they pray on the food, you'll be like, this is the food everybody in McDonald's are eating. Yeah, I mean, if they want to poison you, will they just poison only your own? The way they, so they will say they are sensitive, but they have this spirit that I call the spirit of suspicion. Everybody, just watch him all. The way he even did his mouth yesterday, I know it means something. I know it means something. Because she, I was walking towards her, and then she just paused. And then took a minute, and then later smiled. I know there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. Pastor said we are in a battle, and I know we are in a battle. So there's another camp like that. There's a camp that downplays it. There's a camp that overplays it. Everything is demon. Everything is the devil. Everything is, you know, we should not be in either of the two camps. We should be in the middle. We should be that camp that understands that there is a battle. But we should be that camp that understands that this battle that we are in, we are on the side that has already won. Can I get an amen to that? So though there is a battle, we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. Can somebody say amen to that? So the Bible said here, it says put on the whole armor of God. So that invariably tells us that we need to understand that we're in a battle. But we don't have to be naive. We don't have to be simple not to understand that battle is something that we need to understand the way the word of God wants us to position ourselves for that. On the other hand, we also don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be fearful. In fact, if there is anything the devil will want you to do, is to be on these two extremes. Because these two extremes are deception. He's trying to deceive you to be on this trend. Because with either of these two extremes, he will cheat you. If you are on the simple, naive side, you are ignorant of his desires, then he takes advantage of you. If you are on the other side, where you understand that he's working, but you are fearful of his devices, the fear of what he will do will allow what you do to happen to you. There are so many people, they so fear the devil, it's almost as if they fear the devil more than God. They'll say, the devil. But the devil is a defeated foe. Can somebody say amen to that? So don't be naive or fearful, but know that in this battle we are involved in, that we have already won. Now, so if you understand that there is a battle and that this battle is spiritual, you now understand that human beings can be on different sides of this battle. Human beings can be on different sides of this battle. Because sometimes when you run into people, the person that is functioning through them part time may be on one side of the battle or the other. So we're in a battle. It's the battle between God and the devil. God has already won. But God and the devil will walk with human beings. So sometimes you will get into a situation that you'll be dealing with human beings and they will be behaving as if they are the devil. But the real battle is the devil, because the devil is the one behind the scene. So that's why the Bible said we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. Meaning this, the battle is not physical. The real person that is fighting is in the spiritual or in the spirit. But there are times, and they do work with human beings. So there are times that a boss may be an agent, so to say. Some of them will know that they are agents. Some of them will not know. There are times somebody will be working with God. Some of them will know that they are working with God. Some of them may not know. So the Bible says we should not be ignorant. We should put on the whole armor of God. But we should not think that we are really fighting the human beings that we see that many of these agents are using. Whether the God is using them or whether the devil is using them. There's a scenario in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was asking his disciples questions. And in verse 18, Peter gave a wonderful answer. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, 18. So, before 18, Jesus was already speaking. But before 18, in verse 16, Peter had already given an answer to the personality of Jesus, that Jesus said, "This one that you have said is not you as a human being saying this. This is God speaking through you." So at that point, Peter was an agent of God. In verse 18, Jesus said this, "I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock," that in fact, what you have said is so on point, is so from God, that this revelation that you have revealed now, it is on the foundation of this revelation that the church will be built. And he says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." So if you look at Peter from that place on, you'll be like, wow, Peter is a man of God. Peter is somebody that God uses and stuff like that. But later on, in the same chapter, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 22, let's look at that. Matthew chapter 16, and from verse 22. So Jesus told them that, "So guys, I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to die, I'm going to this," and you know. Peter stood up again. Remember that God had used him to speak. And Jesus even corroborated the statement that he said. But by verse 22 of Matthew chapter 16, the Bible said, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him." Peter took Jesus and began to rebuke him. Meaning, "Jesus, stop it. Stop this nonsense. Wake up. Stop talking like this. Why will you say you will die?" And you know, that those statements sound very good. They sound like, "Jesus, stop saying negative things. Don't say negative against yourself." In fact, he said it here. He said, "Be it far from thee, Lord. God forbid for you. God forbid bad thing." But this was the intention of God. This was the plan of God for Jesus. Though it looked like a wrong thing that is going to happen to Jesus, it's as if Jesus is prophesying doom. It's as if Jesus is saying negative words or releasing negative sounds. No! It's as if Jesus is saying the wrong things he's supposed to say. So he said, "Be it far from you." Then in verse 23, it says, "But he turned and said to Peter, Get thee behind me, who? Satan." Are you kidding me? I thought you just said concerning Jesus that God was speaking through him. Suddenly, this same Peter that God was speaking through, you are now saying that this Peter, the devil is using him. That means that in this battle, in this warfare thing that we find ourselves, it is possible for God to use you. It is possible for another person to use you. I don't want to say the devil because I'm using you. But ask your neighbor, say, "Who is using you?" I got that statement from a friend, so I thought I'm going to use it. Ask your neighbor again, say, "Who is using you?" Because in this scripture, we see that in this warfare thing, we are dealing with spirits. It's a battle of the evil and good. But even though it is a battle between God and the devil, many times the devil will use people. And that's why when you see people do stuff sometimes, don't be overly too worried about the person per se. Understand the spirit behind it. Because Jesus was not really telling Peter now that you're a devil. No. He was just speaking to the spirit, speaking through Peter. And he rebuked that spirit and took control of the situation. Because if you read later on, he handed over pretty much his organization to this Peter. So it wasn't as if he was saying, "You are a terrible person." No, no, no. But because sometimes what people now try to do is that person, that Peter now, "Oh, I won't talk to him again. He doesn't want me to fulfill my destiny." No. I'm not going to. But you have forgotten what Paul says here. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't wrestle in the flesh. Our wrestling match is not against people with flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. So we deal with that principalities and power. Amen to Jesus. So the Bible goes on in that Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 to say, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. It says against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at hierarchies that the devil has. Sometimes when people sing songs like Satan power, powerless power, there's a song like that, right? You know that song, as true as it is, it's not completely true. Satan has power, but his power is powerless compared to the power of God. Can somebody say amen to that? Because if you read this scripture, look at what Paul was calling this whole gang that we are fighting. The Bible, fighting against principalities. He said we are fighting against powers. He said we are fighting against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual. So the devil is very organized. Oh my God. There is serious hierarchy and organization in his realm. And that's why you and I cannot be ignorant and simple and unorganized. And just think we'll just wing it. No. That's what Paul was saying, that we're fighting against very strategized, strata, and planned operation. You know, and so we cannot be ignorant. In fact, the Bible put it there. It says, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Before he started to talk about this hierarchy of power. And wiles there means the method, the ways. So the devil has methods and ways that he uses. And one of the ways that he uses is what I want to talk about tonight. And one of that way is ignorance. Look at your neighbor, say ignorance. If the devil can make you get born again, and you just have that whole experience and nomenclature of being born again, and it keeps you at that level, it's fine. Being born again does not do the devil anything. Being born again and knowing what you are born again into and having the spirit of wisdom and revelation is what puts the devil on the edge. It's what helps to quench these wiles. It's what silences the methods of the devil. You know, I had somebody say something and it really blessed me. He said, the things that we have in our world today, for example, look at this mic. When Jesus was on this earth, there was no microphone. It wasn't because Jesus couldn't afford it. There was no microphone. They had not invented it. But the people that invented microphone did not get the raw material from outside the world that Jesus lived in. Why was there no microphone there? Was it because there was no raw material for microphone? No. It was just because people are not pressing into knowledge to know that there is something that we can use the materials that God has made to make microphone. Can I tell you this? There are children of God that in their destiny, there's a microphone, but they are speaking with their voice. And by God's grace and with the power of God, God will be watching them, and it will seem God is not doing anything. Because sometimes people think, oh, because I'm a child of God, it will happen. No, don't get it twisted. That's why we're talking about believers' authority. You remember in Luke chapter 10 that we read, Jesus said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. See, he said, I have given it to you. But he didn't say that power is already working or is being used. It is possible for me to make something available, but what is obtainable may be different from what is available. There are many things that are available by covenant, but there are many things that are not obtainable in the life of people, not because from the side of God it has not been released, but from the side of man it has not been received. I want you to say loud and clear, say in the name of Jesus, in this season, I open up myself to receive what has been made available for me in Jesus' name. So when it comes to redemption, there is a legal side of redemption. There is a legal side of redemption. Legal meaning that there is a sign that follows the law the law that says the soul that sinned that shall die. And that law also says later on that without the shedding of blood, Hebrews chapter 9, there is no remission of sin. So if anybody appropriates the mystery of the shedding of blood, there will be remission of sin. But you see, that is just the legal side. The vital side of the law, the applying it and making the fact that now I am a child of God to walk, has to do with some level of process, some level of moving forward, some level of doing something with that legal side that makes it become a vital side. And that level really is about growing up. Look at your neighbor, say, grow up. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, let's look at this scripture. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Okay, this guy is back. All right. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Look at that statement. A child has been born, but a son was not born. A son is given. You remember in the ministry of Jesus Christ, it was when Jesus turned 30. Now the Bible said he was baptized in the river Jordan, and the Bible said the heavens were opened, and the voice of the Lord descended and said, this is my beloved what? Son. Not child. Beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The Jews have a custom. They still have it today. They do it in Chicago. Some people that have Jewish friends, they will know this. There is something called bar mitzvah. It is like a graduation ceremony of a young man, of a child, to being an adult. So what that ceremony says is that you were a baby, you were an heir to inheritance, but we could not give you the inheritance because we didn't trust you. So by the time they do that bar mitzvah for that kid, what it means is that now this child can represent the father. This child has grown up to the point where you can do business with this child and you will assume you are doing business with the father. So when Jesus, the Bible said, this is my beloved son, what God was saying is that this is not the Jesus, the baby Jesus. This is the Jesus who has grown in wisdom, like scripture said, who has grown in stature. And so as a child of God, if you remain baby Jesus and you don't grow in wisdom, you don't grow in stature, you will not become the son that the father will say, this is my beloved son in whom I put my seal of approval. So many times, the disconnect for many of us as children of God is that we stay as that baby. And we say, well, I'm a child of God. But yeah, you're a child of God. You have things available to you, but it takes growth to make you be able to access those things that are available to you. How do you know that you are still a child in the things of God? Number one, children are immature. Children are immature. Children have not grown up. Sincerely speaking, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a child of God, every year we should improve on ourselves. We should get better. Let me use that word. If every day you are always coming back, I've had people say statements like this, that, well, I'm just like the prodigal son. Every day, I'm just like the prodigal son. I'm just like the prodigal son. But even that prodigal son, sir, it was only once that prodigal son went out. So every now and then, we are falling, we are standing. We are falling, we are standing. God is a good God. God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. God will help you. God will bring you back in. But you are not growing up. You are immature. You are immature. If the same anger, I've met church people, we are still as angry as we were before we gave our life to Christ. We are still as lying, full of lies. I don't know how the word to use, sorry. But I mean, and we call it all kinds of names. We say blue is green or red is white. Come on. Come on. The characteristic of children in God is immaturity. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I did things as a child. He said, but when I grew up, I threw away childish things. There are many things we have going with us now that is still childish. Some of us get angry. I need to tell her my mind. I don't like people to cheat me. You are still a child. See maturity. They did me like that. I must tell them who I am. Come on. It's immaturity. It's immaturity. So, one of the characteristics of children is that they are immature. What other characteristics do children have? They are selfish. They are selfish. And I think the Church of Jesus, we need to move away from me situation. I don't know if it is the selfie generation that makes everything to be about self, but there is an emphasis, an overemphasis on the self in this generation. We talk a lot about self, self-empowerment, self this, self that. And I believe in that. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't help other people. But if you think about yourself alone, that's a small thinking. That's a low thinking. That's a childish thinking. So one of the characteristics of children is that they are selfish. How do you know a selfish person? Watch their priorities. Watch their prayers. You need to watch some of our prayer. It's all about ourselves. If some people have 1 hour to pray, they won't even, sometimes they may not even pray for somebody that is close to them, that is almost themselves. Everything is me, mine. So characteristics of a child is they are immature, they are selfish. And let me just throw in this one. The things that are possible with grown-ups are not possible with them. The things that are possible with grown-ups are not possible with them. Ladies and gentlemen, there are things in the realms of God. There are things with God that you may not be able to appreciate. You may not be able to experience to the fullest except you grow up. Because it will be ungodly. It will be not good from the side of God for God to let you enter into the fullness of that. No. There are some things that is waiting on your growing up. There are many things that God can do that he has not done, so to say. It's not because he cannot do it. It's because he wants you to come up higher. He wants you to come up higher. He is asking you that, how long are we going to be dealing with these petty things? You need to grow up. You need to grow up. All right, let me say a few things about some of the things I believe can just help us to transition from this childishness to sonship. Things that can help us to translate from childishness to sonship. And all of these things will help us to appreciate and to be able to dominate and operate with the believer's authority that we are being given, with the power that God has made available to us. Number one, we have to grow in the knowledge of our family. How does my sonship flow? I have to get deeper in the knowledge of my family. I have to get deeper. You know, I said the other time that one of the major tools the devil uses against you and I is ignorance. And that ignorance, he uses it to keep you as a child. Because he knows that there are realms that you can go into. There are realms that you can enjoy if you just become a son. If you grow up into a son. You remember that scripture, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. Sons are made. So if you want to be made and you want your sonship to find expression, now remember and know that a child is also a son. What it just means, the difference between a child and a son in this context that we're talking about is in the responsibility you're going to give them. Is in the access to the things that they can operate. So how do I get to that place where I can access more of the things of God? This authority I have in him, I can find it expressing more in my life. What do? You know more about your family. You deepen your knowledge of the family. You know more about this God. You know your God. relationship. You know, I was talking about prayer the other time, that the activity of prayer is as useless as anything without investment in the relationship between the person that answers prayer. So the more of God you know, the better your prayer life, the better the result you will get. The results you will get will be different because you are deepening in the knowledge. You are knowing more and more. Is that not what scripture says in Daniel 11? It says, and they that know their God will be strong and will do exploit. Not they that are acquainted, not they that have accepted their God. They that know. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed. There is a battle and there is destruction happening, not because I want it to happen, but because they do not know. Knowledge, 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 knowledge. Deepening our knowledge. Deepening our knowledge of the family. Doing everything it will take to know more about this family. This family that God has brought you into. What are the investments that you are giving into your knowing? That's why Paul was praying for that church or those people. And says, I am praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Because the more, the deeper you know him, the more exploit you will perform. And I'm praying for you too, that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in Jesus' name. All right, let me put this one in and then we'll be ready to pray. How do I translate from these childhood and childish things to sonship and maturity? I grow in my knowledge of the family. Number two, I exercise and use my knowledge. I exercise and use my knowledge. Knowledge without application is useless. Knowledge applied is wisdom. Knowledge without application is useless. So I have to exercise my knowledge. I have to use my knowledge. I have to put it to action. I have to practice it, so to say. I have to use it, because there is a law that says if you don't use it, you lose it. Or even if you don't lose it, it will be useless to you. So you have to exercise the knowledge. The more you know something, anything you know from scripture, if you hear a sermon, if for example we preach today, anything you hear, if you didn't hear well, go and listen to it later on. Whatever you hear there and anything that you can take out of it as an action point, take it out of it and start to work on it. Start to do something about it, because you are not going to get blessed just because you have heard. It is not the hearer of the word that is blessed, but the doers also. There are too many people in church that know head knowledge, but that don't do. Because if you know, and you know beyond head knowledge, revelation, you will do. You will do. You will do. Because the Bible said, if you know the truth will set you free. But it is the truth that you have known that has pushed you into action that makes you free. So we are in a battle. We are in a warfare. We are fighting spirits. We are fighting organized demons. We are fighting. There's a host of darkness that is against you that will probably walk through human beings. But you and I, all we need to do is to understand that we have authority in Christ. I'll talk more about that in times to come. But in the meantime, you need to work on yourself. You need to ask yourself, am I a child or am I a son? And son, in this case, I'm not talking of a male gender. It's just talking of somebody who has matured, who has grown up, who is not dealing with the elements again, who is held on to God, who has taken the word of God. And the word of God used to be milk to that person. And the more they take the word of God, the word turned to meat for them. The Bible says, who by the reason of use, after they have used the word of God has become meat for them. And they have their senses exercised. So we need to grow up, ladies and gentlemen. We need to mature, because what is available may not be obtainable except we grow up, so that what is available, we can use it. I want you to bow down your heads to God tonight. I still pray the prayer we started with. That God give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I don't just want to be a church carrying, card carrying member of the church. I don't want to be a religious Christian. That's an anomaly. I don't want to be somebody that just performed the ritual of coming to church, perform the ritual of doing the things of God. I pray, I fast, just ritualistically, but there's no change. Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I want to grow up. I want to grow up. I want to know more about this family. Open my eyes to channels where I can know you. I know I can know you through the word of God, through the Bible, that I read the Bible myself. I know I can know you when I come around fellowship with the people of God and let that fellowship work on me and make me know you better. I know I can know you by coming to church and hearing the word preached like it's been preached to me tonight. But Lord, I'm asking, help me to know you. And the more I know you, help me to exercise. Somebody needs to pray and say, Father, help me to exercise. I receive grace to practice. I receive grace to put into action what I know from your word. I am not just the hearer, but the doers also. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you this morning, evening. We thank you because you always answer our prayers. We're asking tonight, oh God, that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.